Our title this morning is A Disciple and His Lord, or The Lordship of Christ. And our primary passage will be Luke chapter 9, starting with verse 18 through 27. Luke chapter 9, 18, And it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked him, saying, Whom say the people that I am? They answered, said, John the Baptist, some say Elias, others say that one of the old prophets is risen again. But he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, and the chief priests and scribes, and be slain, be raised the third day. And he said to them all, If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth that there be some standing here which shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Our key passage is Luke 9:23, And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Would you like to memorize that? Many of you know it, don't you? Let's go to the reference before and after. Ready? Luke 9:23, And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. Let's do it again and look at it if you don't know it. Ready? Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Beautiful. I feel that the gospel teaches, the Bible teaches, that Christ is Lord straight away. We're coming from a particular Christian culture that separates Christ as Savior and Christ as Lord. But the Bible, I don't feel, teaches that. The fact that some people know Him as Savior and never made Him as Lord gives us a problem. We have to deal with it. But the Bible teaches us that God is our Savior, both past, present, and future. And the gospel is recorded in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1, 2, 3, 4. And you want to make a note of this. You want to put this reference down. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, but which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And He was seen of Peter and of the 12. After that He is seen of about 500 brethren at once, whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep or some are dead. And that He was seen of James, and of all the apostles, and last of all He was seen of me, as one born out of due time. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I think I've shared with you, at least briefly, what has helped me remember the three P's of the gospel. Christ died on the cross to save us from the penalty of sin. The living Savior lives in us to save us from the power of sin. And He's coming again to save us from the very presence of sin. Now, we don't get this in compartments. Or we don't come down the altar one time and accept Christ as Savior, come down the altar again as Lord, and come down the altar again and get our rain check or ticket punch so He'll be sure and take us back when he comes. We get it all at once. It's all in Jesus. Colossians
2, 9 and 10, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. We have it all in Jesus Christ. So when you and I come to Jesus Christ, we accept Christ. We accept the gospel, the good news. Now the good news is good news. And if somebody tells you something that's not good news, it won't be the gospel at all. See, when I was told that I could be forgiven from my sins, and I wouldn't have to go to hell, and I wouldn't have to suffer from my sins, that was good news. That really was. If you owed a bunch of money in the bank, and someone said, did you know that your debt has been paid? That would be good news. That wouldn't be the gospel, it would be good news. Well, the gospel is good news. And the good news is that I have been forgiven from my sins. And this forgiveness comes when I come to Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that it might bring us to God, been put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. The penalty of sin, when Christ suffered on the cross, he paid the price for the sins of the whole world. When Jesus Christ died, Joseph and Nicodemus took him off the cross and they buried him. They put him in a grave, Joseph's tomb, not too far from where they crucified him. Mary was coming to anoint him, and she didn't have a hope. She didn't have faith because she brought some material to anoint a dead body. So she didn't have faith to believe that he was alive or hope. What brought her to the tomb was love. Faith, hope, love, these three, the greatest of these is love. Love keeps us going when we don't have faith or hope. And love kept her going when she didn't have faith or hope. And of course she encountered him that morning there when he had arisen from the dead. You remember he said, I haven't yet ascended to my Father, so don't touch me now. Later he let them touch him. Thomas never did touch him, but he said he could. He says, Thomas, reach hither thy finger and put in the prints, and reach hither thy hand and put in my side. He was willing for them to touch him, but not until he had ascended unto his Father. 50 days later, they were praying in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit descended, cloven tongues like as a fire, and it descended upon the disciples. This was the entry of the Holy Spirit on the earth to stay. Now the Holy Spirit came and went on the earth from various times throughout the Old Testament. You remember Samson was empowered by the Holy Spirit to kill a bunch of people. And others had special power of the Holy Spirit. But it was at Pentecost that the Holy Spirit came to stay. So since then, the Holy Spirit has been on this earth, and all hell literally would break loose if it wasn't for the power of the Holy Spirit on the earth today. We find in Thessalonians, speaking of the Holy Spirit, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit is restraining power here. On earth, that's in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. So it would be worse than it is, be more murder and more everything if it wasn't for the restraining power of the Holy Spirit on this earth today. This is the reason people can take the Bible itself. You've heard testimonies of people reading like a Gideon Bible in a hotel room, and coming to know Christ and being born again is because the Holy Spirit is working on this earth. The Holy Spirit is also in you and me if we have come to Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, we have been all made to drink of one Spirit. So if someone says, have you been baptized of the Holy Spirit? You say yes. Now this is a positional truth. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Well, what did he mean? Well, obviously, Paul hadn't been nailed to a cross. You know, because the next phrase says, nevertheless, I live. You know, here I am, you know, big old me, you know. And then he goes back and forth, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Now, how did Christ live in Paul? Through the Holy Spirit. We find in John 14 and John 16, Jesus said this statement, I am with you, I will be in you. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. I, Jesus said, will be in you. Since the Holy Spirit has made his entry into this world at Pentecost, he has remained. So when you and I come to Jesus Christ, we are baptized, all of us, by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Now, this is a positional truth. I'll try to explain. When I went to New Zealand, I wanted to travel up to Asia, up to Malaysia and Singapore and Indonesia and then over to Australia. And being a foreigner, they frowned on that. So the man at the Labor Department told my secretary, he says, your boss needs one of these little certificates. She said, well, how do you get that? So I filled out some papers, and it was quite easy to become a resident of New Zealand. After that, they closed the doors, and I was one of the select few who was a citizen of the United States, but a resident of New Zealand. That means I could live there and enjoy the free medicine and pay income tax the rest of my life if I'd wanted. Now, I made application, but I didn't make myself a resident. I sent this off to Wellington, the capital, and a little clerk, you know, they call them clerks. Little clerk, stamped that, you know, and it was done for me. You see? Positional truth. That's the reason Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. When Christ was crucified, I was crucified. Alright? We find in Hebrews where the scripture says that Levi paid tithes to Melchizedek through his great-great-grandfather, Abraham. Now, Levi, of course, wasn't even born yet. But it says in Hebrews chapter 7, 9 and 10, that Levi paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him, a positional truth. If the president decides to go to war, whether or not he asked me, I am in war. He does it for me because he represents me, and I might try to get out of it, but I can't really. I just can't. Because I'm a citizen of the United States, you see. He does it for me. So Paul said, when I was crucified with Christ, Jesus crucified for me. I was indwelt by the Holy Spirit, not by an experience, not by a second trip to the altar or the third trip or some emotional experience on a hillside. It was done for me. So here I am, bald as ever, saved by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, since the Holy Spirit indwelt the church at Pentecost, and now I am a part of this church, waiting till Jesus returns in person and takes me home again. So, the gospel says the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ. I was saved from the penalty of sin by the blood of the cross. From the power of sin by the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. From the presence of sin when he comes again and receives me into his own. Philippians 3:20-21. For our manner of life is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Until I leave, I've got the Holy Spirit indwelt in a temple of clay, in a sinful body, that wants to take over this body, this mind, this soul, and this strength, and live out his life here on earth. Love the Lord God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. You see? And he wants to do that. And this is a testimony. This is a testimony to the world. See if I can find it. Ezekiel. Slips my mind. And I shall be sanctified in them before their eyes. If you think of that reference, holler it out. Don't find it. One of the things that the Lord wants to do for us is to sanctify us, to enable us to live the Christian life here in the midst of a sinful world. So we're saved only from the blood of Christ, from the penalty of sin. We're saved by the Holy Spirit living in us, from the power of sin. When he comes, we'll save from the presence of sin. So I'm going to give you the cue, and when you say those words, okay, ready? We're saved by the blood of Christ from the penalty of sin. We're saved by the indwelling Holy Spirit from the power of sin. When he comes again, he shall save us from the presence of sin. You remember I shared with you, it's good for the ocean, for the ship to be in the ocean, but when the ocean gets in the ship, you have problems. It's good for the Christian to be in the world, but when the world gets into a Christian, you have a set of problems, see? And although we're living and getting older and older and older and older, 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day." Salvation is in a moment of time. John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Birth is in a moment of time. I realize the little child is living within his mother, but he comes into the world and he breathes the breath of life in a moment of time. Death is in a moment. You say, well, he's very near death. Well, we know what we mean. But sometimes we come back from very near death and live and get well and live. So we're not dead till we're dead, and that's a moment of time, physical death. We're not alive till we're alive, and that's a moment of time, you see. Our first little baby was alive up until shortly before it was to be born, and then it wasn't born. It was born with a body, but not with a breath, and it didn't breathe. And so it never become a living soul in the sense that it breathes breath. It's a moment of time. So is spiritual. It comes in a moment of time. You say, well, John, I don't remember when that was in my life. Well, let me tell you something that I've forgotten, and I don't even remember. I don't remember when I was born. I've tried to remember all about that. There's a farmhouse in Alabama, but I don't remember it. Now, do you think I was born or not? Well, I mean, is it debatable? Let's debate it. Who thinks I would have been born? See? Kind of funny, isn't it? You know? Well, I don't know that I have to remember when it was, but I was born in a moment of time. Great big old 10-pound baby. I think I weighed a little bit more than 10 pounds, but when I think when the scale hit 10 pounds, Mama said, hey, that's quit right there, you know. Big enough. I was born again in a moment of time. You know? Now, I don't know exactly that, you know, when it was. I watched an old boy one time be born again in a moment of time. I watched his facial expression. It's an absolutely glorious thing. David Wynn, our neighbor I told you about, we did Bible study, when he looked at me and he had that blank expression and he just got it, you know, and you could see it on his face. He went, it's individual, isn't it? You know, I watched him be born. And I was walking down the stairway that night and I told Mom, I said, I think that's the first time I've ever been witness of birth in this way, looking straight at him, you know. Quite often you're praying, you know, and he prays over here and you're not looking at him unless you're peeking, you know. It's a glorious thing, see? I've been told it's a glorious thing to watch little babies born. I'm going to leave that up to the doctor, though. I'm going to I'm going to give that up. I give it up for Lent or something. I haven't given anything up for Lent lately. Bricklaying, stone cutting, fine, but I'm going. Blessings on you, bud. The Bible teaches, and the Lord intends, we go away from this new birth experience to live a life of growth. We hope when a little baby is born, we give it this tender, loving care. Margaret walked down the stairway, 25 hours, I guess, after hers were born. Now, she can do that if she wants to. I'd rather wait a little while. Was it Margaret? Was that Prince? Was that her name? Charles's wife? Diana, yeah, thank you. Yeah, made good publicity and they all look pretty. But I think I'll wait a little bit. But we hope that little baby just grows off nicely. We'll pray for it, look after it, give it medicine, shots, insecticides, whatever you use, Yeah, spray it. Defumigate it. And then we feed it. And then we change it. And then we play with it and change it. And then we put it to bed and change it. And we hope this is a beautiful young lady or young man in time to come, walking down the aisle to start the process all over again. Without too much catastrophes all through there, mumps and smallpox and a few broken legs and arms and falling out of the fig tree and, all those things. Huh? But we hope it just grows off. But once in a great while, the Lord sees fit to send us a child, either by birth or by accident, that's impaired some way. My brother had polio when he was 8 months old and he was crippled. He's a general contractor, a little older than me, but all of his life he was crippled. And there's five of us, and I asked Mom once, I said, Mom, do you, when I was a little boy, I said, you love us all alike? She said, yes, son, I do. We do. She said, however, your brother being crippled, I've given him more care, and just by the nature of things, a mother's heart goes out to the one who needs more care. And so, of course, now he can look after himself, but when he was a boy, I perhaps gave him more care. I sure appreciate my mom. I think that's one reason I came to Christ. Mom was about as honest as any person I've ever seen. She just said it just like it was. And she did give more care, see? And probably he was just a little closer to her heart because he was a cripple. But we feel badly when people are born that way, and we do all we can. And if a person is hurt or and they have crutches, why we try to make provision for them to get in and out of the house. 10 years before they passed the law that you had to put in handrails and things like that, that you got to redo your entranceways now and all such of that, see. The entranceway to the King James, I put that ramp in there myself, because I that somebody don't have to think of things that we need ramps and steps. I mean, the government don't have to think of my things. I put that in there 10 years before the law was. Why? Because you need a ramp. I mean, they were crippled people before the law, so I put a ramp in there. You like that? George Sanchez came by, and I said, George, you know what I'm putting this ramp in you for? And he said, no, John. I said, well, that's for old people in wheelchairs and people that have crippled. Oh, really? He says, you're going to have conferences for old people? It was a collegiate conference then, see? I said, yeah. I said, George, you know who's coming? He said, no, John, who's coming? I said, George Sanchez and John Crawford. And I'm glad that ramp's already in there. I just hadn't felt like this week about pouring concrete all that much, you see? But we got these folks, and we help them all we can, don't we? But we wish they were healthy and could go ahead. Okay. So you have spiritual people. people who come to Christ. And we let them believe an error. And the error is, okay, I'm saved. I got an asbestos suit. You know, when I go to hell, I won't burn. See? The Bible doesn't teach that, folks. No more than you want to have a little baby that's an imbecile or impaired or deranged some way. You really would rather it be well. God intends for you and I to come to Christ and grow off into maturity. Now, the fact that that hasn't happened doesn't change God's intention. The fact that we're coming up on a third of our people being divorced doesn't make divorce right, but it makes people like you and me who know Jesus to try to work with divorcees and get them productive, because we can't turn the clock back. They would like to, I'm sure, but they can't. And they're people, and we're not going to shoot them, you know. Unless they sing the Swedish national anthem. See? We start where we are with what we got. All right. Now then. Maybe you have come to Christ. Maybe you have come to a place in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. If you haven't, I would encourage you to do like Bud did. Here he was, a church man, a mature man with a family, but he just stopped on the way to the Monday night football game and got into the dark room, you see, and drove down a stake. If you have, you have. But if you haven't, why don't you drive it down? Today is the first day of July?
Second.
Oh, I'm behind. Second day of July. What a wonderful time to drive down a state and say, Lord, I don't know if I've ever really committed my life to you or not. I've been in church all this time, see? I know all the doctrines. When I came to Christ at 20, I have no problem on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the doctrine of the inspiration of the Bible, the doctrine that Jesus was Son of God, the doctrine that Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. If you wanted to pray, I'd take off my hat. Be quiet. Show reverence. And I always called ministers and reverends, sir. I was nice. But lost. Because I was following my own way. I had never been changed in my heart. I was going John's way. Now, I've got to share this with you. If you have never changed, you're going your own way. See? All right. You see, well, John, I know I'm born again. I really do, boy. I know I'm born again. There's just too much evidence. In fact, I remember when it was. But he doesn't control my life. God makes a provision. God makes a provision if you and I have lollygagged around to come to him. In fact, he makes provision to come to him every day. Says his mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. And Luke 9:23 says, and he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. If you and I have never made a commitment to take up our cross, we can do it today. We really can. If we took it up one time and it's gotten to heaven, we laid it down. You know where you laid it down. You know what creek you laid it down by. You really do. You know, I've talked to people a long time. I've looked right in their eyes and say, you know where you laid it down? Yeah, John, I know where I laid it down. Where'd you lay it down? I laid it down on that business deal this lawyer talked me into, and it was wrong, and it was crooked, it was wicked. I laid it down right there, John. And your life hadn't been victorious since. That's right, because I've been living under a burden of sin. Psalm 66:18 says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I've talked to other guys, when did you lay it down? Well, I laid it down when I was unfaithful. I knew I was doing wrong, but it was one of those deals, you know, company party, and, you know, Christmas, so on, so on, so on. You've never made it right. No. See? particularly with men. I haven't dealt as much with women as I have with men. And I think women can be deceived more than men. Because it says in Timothy, it says, Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived. But the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. It's hard to deceive a man, particularly about sin. And I never yet have looked at him right in the eyeballs and called it. I've never had one to back down or deny it. He comes right. He don't confess it and go on his way as a righteous man, but he doesn't deny it, doesn't lie about it. It's interesting about that. That's the reason I love to deal with them. Because you can look at them and call it. They respect you. If you've laid down your cross of following Christ, you know where you laid it down. You say, John, I laid it down when I married out of the will of God. Well, you can't go back and unmarry. You can get a divorce, but you can't unmarry. You know that? You can't unmarry. See, whatever happened, happened. You know, I mean, you can't say in any way that Belgium attacked Germany. You know? Germany attacked Belgium. That's the way it was. So whatever happened, happened. But God will forgive you and me. And we can start over. We really can. We'll suffer the effects of sin. But he'll forgive us from the penalty. And he'll use our lives. I know some divorced people who are an evangelist. I really do. I really do. I know some people who have a real bad background who really are walking with God. I know some Christians who walked with God for a while and laid it down for a while and picked it up again. See? So there's always that provision. And he said to them all, if any man will, if any man will, John 7:17, if any man will to do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. You make a decision. You decide. You decide to join the army. You decide to get married. You decide to join the church. You decide to come out here. You decide. If any man will. If any man, your commitment, you have to make a decision. If any man will, you get where you want to get by your decisions. Oh, you have to work. You have to implement the decision, but you can't implement a decision that you haven't made. I can't either. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. It's talking to Christians here, talking to the church. If any man open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Oh, that previous passage is just so gorgeous in Revelation chapter 3. I know thy works, starting with 3:15, that thou art neither hot nor cold. I would that were cold or hot. By the way, the Bible says, I wish you was either cold or hot. So then, because I'm lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I think I'm going to vomit. That's the literal meaning. I think I'm going to vomit. How do you like that for the Lord talking to us? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Psalmist says, I said in my strength, I shall never be moved. I'm strong. Them diseases won't get me. I'm the greatest. You remember the Iron Man? The Iron Man of baseball? Lou Gehrig? He died at what, about 33? And now then his disease is named after him, you know? Boy, we can all be in the hospital tomorrow morning. Looking right up at that ceiling and that fan turn around. And count the revolutions. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? Now here it is, 18. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. The Apostle John says, inspired by the Holy Spirit, go to the window and buy some gold tried in the fire. Well, that gold tried in the fire is the fire that you and me are going to be put into when our lives are tried. Don't shun away from it. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed. That's clothed with the white raiment having been washed in the blood. and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. They made an eye salve at this particular town, this particular city, pharmaceuticals, and evidently they used that for the for ointment, and so this was the takeoff there. Anoint thine eyes with spiritual eye salve that thou mayest see. And you won't see. I won't see until I will, till I make a will, till I put my will, and then I can't be bought. See? I can't be bought. If I am determined that God is going to give me the right kind of house under the right kind of conditions with absolutely no shenanigans, and that God's going to do it, he who made the world out of nothing, then I can't be bought, and I'm not about to take second. If I have a commitment with God like I made at the age of 25 that God was going to do certain things in my marriage before I married, then I can't be bought. Little did I realize it would be 10 more years before God would fulfill these conditions in my life and in her life. She wasn't even converted at that time, of course. I was 35 and Helen was 25 when we got married. But for 10 years I had this thing laying before God that the wife of his choice and certain conditions would be met before I did. If you've made a will, then you can't be bought. See? See, if a fellow has victory over the flesh, bathing beauties from here to the gate won't tempt him. If you've made have victory over gold, they can line gold all the way up the canyon or down the canyon, and you won't pick it up. See? I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. Basic convictions of the Holy Spirit of God. One of the reasons I wanted a certain kind of wife is because I'd live with Doss and Chris and others. And I wanted, above all else, a family and wife and a home that would recruit people for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I wanted awful bad. And the Lord said, okay, fine. I'm going to see just how bad you want it. And I'm not going to sit here and testify, stand here and testify that it wasn't difficult. Because you see these lovely things roaring around here. Well, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, they were just as pretty and just as lovely and just as many of them, see. And I was tempted like I am quail shooting. Just shoot into the covey and get one, you know. But in God's timing, I said, one of the conditions was that when it got right, that the whole gang would rejoice and that Doss would just be excited about it and that it would be used to recruit people. Well, if I've ever seen the old man excited, he was excited. I mean, he really went berserk. In fact, Doss would just took over when I told him about it and he okayed it and he got me reservations. Lila was sick over at the Pink House and she had tuberculosis at the time, and the doctor said, well, Colorado's a place to get well, so she was just confined to her room. And we went over there and told her, and he said, Lila, which is the most romantic place in Colorado? Springs. And she said, Cheyenne Mountain Lodge. And I don't know if it's still up there, but up on top of Cheyenne Mountain, there was a beautiful dining room. So he got reservation. He didn't ask us. He didn't ask us if we want to go, see? He got reservation that night. See, and take my car, and here's $10 and a dollar for the tip. In those days, you could get a tremendous meal for $2.50, you know. But, you know, boy, and he had it all lined up. And we went up there for dinner. And just as we went through, it was started to snow. It was in February. And started to snow, and the gate was closed. And we got up there, and we were the only couple in Cheyenne Mountain Lodge. And they had the whole staff, these waiters and stuff, you know, all dressed up. So. And they knew this was our engagement party. And all these guys, you know, were around us. And all they had to do was serve us because the road was closed by the forest department, see, and that was our engagement. I am thrilled to be able to appoint back now these 27 years and give you names and addresses of fellas and gals who were recruited in our home. Many of them run this place. Harvey Cox, Russ Reed, Francis Cosgrove, Larry Hardy, Jack Blanche in Spain, Hankins in Spain, Oslin in Europe, you know, right on down and down. That was even before we got to New Zealand, you know. Some of them in business, some of them pastors, you see. Where did it happen? It happened back there between the 24th and 25th year when Doss was helping me. And I said, I will. Now, my strength didn't keep me. You know that. You know that. His strength. I put myself into his care. And he kept me. And he is still keeping me. You know I don't have the strength to keep on the straight and narrow. Neither do you. But I put myself over in his care. It's a decision. It's a will. It's my volition. I just come over there. See, I said, Lord, I am yours, body and soul. Mary, in 1:38, Luke, I belong to the Lord, body and soul. Be it unto me according to thy word. Isn't that gorgeous? So let me encourage you, in your quiet time, today, if this is not true in your life, if you're not walking victoriously like you want to walk, I would encourage you to make a commitment. Again, doctrinally, God never intended to be that way. But he don't get his way all the time. He really doesn't. For the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish. But you know people are perishing. But it's not because he wants them to perish, you see. But he can get his way in my life and in your life. A commitment. We have to stop, turn around, and go the other way. My father gives testimony as to when he was wondering and praying if he should see his mother, and the Lord laid it on his heart. Artie, you're going the wrong way, boy. Stop. Turn around. Go the other way if you want to see your mother. And that was the time, about 50 years old, in which he was converted. Let me give you John 5:41 in the Amplified. I receive not glory from men. I crave no human honor. I look for no mortal fame. That's the Lord Jesus. I receive not glory from men. I crave no human honor. I look for no mortal fame. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for this beautiful time together today and this week. Lord, I thank you for these beloved ones that love you. And Lord, in a crowd like this, there could easily be some of us that need to make commitments. We need to drive down a stake on this second day of July and say, Lord, I want to make a commitment. I want to will my whole life and being and body and soul and mind and spirit into your keeping, into your care. Realizing that I have failed, will fail, and continue to fail, but in Christ, you will make me strong. In Jesus' name, amen.